Hello, my name is Amy Toy, the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. Besides being a radio show host, I'm also an intuitive counselor who provides spiritual insight into matters of the heart. Are you confused about your love life? Thinking of getting a new job? Wondering about your purpose and why you are here? I work very closely with not only the angelic realm, but also those who have crossed over to the other side. All sessions are strictly confidential. I also offer long-distance healing sessions using angelic energy. This angelic energy, also known as integrated energy therapy, IET, can be done through Skype or on the phone and helps you get the issues out of the tissues. For first-time clients only, I am offering a 20% discount. You can find me online on amytoyamytoy.com, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or email me at angelicamy35@gmail.com or simply call 727-514-7323. May the angels carry you through, and this is for entertainment purposes only. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Amy Toy, and I'm the host of Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very enlightening guest tonight. And as the saying goes, your eyes are the windows to your soul, the key to seeing the light that expands your consciousness, allowing you to experience greater presence and aliveness than ever before. That's the premise in Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman's new book, Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. Integrating 40 years of research, practice, and direct experience, this groundbreaking book presents a new science of life. Dr. Lieberman is a pioneer in the fields of light, vision, and consciousness. Originally trained as an optometrist and vision scientist, his life changed in 1976 after the miraculous healing of his eyesight, leading him to a deeper understanding of the light and science of life. Having helped countless individuals recover their eyesight, he began to understand the words of Jonathan Swift, "Real vision is the ability to see the invisible." An internationally respected author and public speaker, Dr. Lieberman's works have been lauded by best-selling authors and world-renowned thought leaders from Eckhart Tolle to Deepak Chopra. Dr. Lieberman is the author of two other seminal books on light and vision, and the developer of the first FDA-cleared medical device for vision improvement. His years of clinical research and direct experience have led him to a new philosophy of life that can be implemented by anyone at home, resulting in the profound transformation that is rapid, significant, and permanent. Well, welcome, Dr. Jacob Israel Lieberman. How are you tonight?
I'm really good, and I'm so happy to be with you this evening. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. When I saw the book and everything, I said, I got to have him on. I like to teach my listeners different ways of cultivating their enlightenment or their inner being. So thank you for coming on.
Oh, sure. My pleasure.
Let's talk about your experiences, which is fascinating to me. Like I said, it's very enlightening, especially with the light therapy. We talked about that, you know, before the show. You know, the scriptures, it says God created darkness and light. So we use the light, and you've implemented that. So
yeah.
Why did you write this book?
You know, I've had a series of very, very profound experiences. Throughout my life, I've been a sensitive most of my life. I've had a lot of very profound revelations. But starting in 1971, as a student, a medical student, who was having a lot of problems with reading that I've had my whole life, I was introduced to the concept that you could do certain exercises to improve the way your eyes were working. And when I did them, even for just 5 minutes, I read for an hour straight with the most perfect attention and comprehension I had ever experienced. It was so profound that I started crying, because prior to that, I thought I was stupid. I thought something was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. I did those little simple exercises for about 10 minutes a day for a couple months. And then I made the dean's list every single quarter for the next 2 years of my medical training. And that really turned a light on and allowed me to realize that there was a profound difference between the ability to read an eye chart, what we call sight, and what we call vision, which is really our response to the world that we see. I went into practice in the early 1970s, and I noticed that everyone's eyes were continually deteriorating. That, of course, had occurred with me, but it was really magnified to me when I saw that every year patients came in continually saying they couldn't see and continually getting a stronger prescription. So I had a personal investment in actually experimenting to see, is it possible to prevent vision deterioration? And my first peer-reviewed published study, which I completed in 1974, dealt with that topic. So this was something that was in my awareness very, very early on. But in late 75 and 76, I actually started experimenting myself to see what was possible with my own vision, because I didn't want to implement anything with my patients that I had not personally experienced and that I couldn't say for sure was really impactful. And so I was wearing my glasses less. I was making weaker rather than stronger glasses to see what the impact was. I was using vision exercises. All these things were helpful to a certain degree, but then something very profound happened in 1976. I was someone who had studied meditation in 1971, so it was something that I did on a daily basis. And one day I went into my typical meditative practice. I removed my glasses. I closed my eyes. I just started tuning in and quieting everything. And somewhere in the process of this meditation, I seemed to have lost sight of myself. I wasn't aware of myself breathing or any of those typical things. There was just a sense of awareness and a sense of total clarity. I had a sense that I could see myself in the room clearly, even though my eyes were closed. I couldn't seem to determine what was seeing because it felt like the seeing was happening from everywhere. Now, I don't know how to really speak about this because I'd never had an experience like this. However, when I opened my eyes after my meditation, my eyesight was crystal clear. And it was so profound that I got in my car. I drove to my office to try to figure out exactly what had occurred. I sat in my examination chair, and I started projecting a series of different eye charts on the wall. Consistently, I could see one line better than 20/20. In other words, I was seeing 300% better, because prior to that, I could only see the big E on the top of the chart. Mm-hmm. Now, that was incredibly profound for me, because that wasn't supposed to happen. No one had ever shared anything about that possibility. And everything I'd been taught led me to believe that couldn't happen. And yet it did. So I sat behind my instrument, which is called a phoropter, to examine my own eyes, even though I couldn't see exactly what I was doing. And why I was doing that was to see if there was any change in my prescription, which, of course, I knew there was going to be, because I was seeing 300% better. But when I examined myself and came out from behind the device and checked the prescription that was on my device, I realized that I'd had this profound, significant change in my eyesight, but no change at all in the prescription of my eyes. Now, I can't imagine how that could have occurred, but it was so profound that it led me to a very significant realization, which is the eyes may be involved in seeing, but they're only a very small part of the picture. What actually is seeing is something beyond the eyes, because I was seeing 300% better, but my eyes hadn't changed at all. And to make that experience even more significant than it was, that occurred 42 years ago. I am now 70 years old. I have never had a pair of glasses on my face since that day. And I still see well at distance, and I still see well at near. I don't wear reading glasses like most people when they get to be 40 or 45. So what I'm sharing with you is that this wasn't some idea I had or some philosophy I heard of. This was an absolute direct experience that occurred instantaneously, effortlessly, and permanently. And what it led me to realize is that there is a potential state that we can enter into, perhaps via grace or some other means, that has the possibility of bringing us back to a default setting. In other words, it like brings you back to the way it was before we were conditioned with all these ideas and stresses of life. Mm-hmm. Maybe the state that I entered, even though I don't know how I got there, was similar to what happens to someone when they have a spontaneous remission. Mm-hmm. And so the purpose of sharing this is not related to me personally, but it's related to something that is possible in life, and that has been my journey of searching and experimentation for the last 42 years. What is the source of the seeing? What is seeing within our humanity? Because if we can uncover that, then our entire life can change, and we can experience a life that is luminous in nature, a life of contentment versus a life that is continually filled with good and bad, right and wrong, ease and distress. So that's a long response to your question, but I felt it was worthwhile to give you a bit of a context of how I've come to this new book.
That's fascinating, because you were talking about the exercises. When I was growing up, I was supposed to have surgery on my eyes because I had double vision and lazy eye and all that. And the optometrist that I was going to gave me the exercises, and I didn't need the surgery. I didn't need to wear glasses.
When was this? Where was this?
I'm from Buffalo, New York, originally. And this was when I was 3 years old. And this is, I am...
Very interesting.
Yes, Dr. Lagaretta was his name. He retired a long time ago.
I don't know his name, but I trained many doctors in this work, so I thought maybe it was someone I knew.
Yes, but I remember that he told me that he didn't want me to have the surgery. He said, "Now we can do these exercises," and we worked and we worked and we worked, and my mother to take me 3 to 4 times a week to Children's Hospital in Buffalo. And that's when you said that, that brought me back to that. I was like, wow. Fascinating. I'm just fascinated when you said that I forgot about all that. You know, sometimes someone talks and it brings out a memory or something.
Interesting. Yeah, and I think that's the beautiful part about having an unrehearsed conversation like we're having here, mm-hmm. that it's real, it's authentic, it's like it's never happened before, and so some wonderful things come to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And I've reached that over the 40, and I'm reading glasses, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have to start looking at that because I'm feeling like I don't need them. It's something that I think our society wants us to do, is have reading glasses. Oh, yeah, I'm hitting 40, so I need reading glasses. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, you know, in an ancient Hebrew text called the Talmud, it says that life begins at 40. So perhaps this is the beginning of your life rather than the beginning of some certain stage of maturity or adulthood or deterioration. I think there's a very good probability that if you're using reading glasses, maybe the over-the-counter readers that you're perhaps using get a slightly weaker pair. In this new book, Luminous Life, there's this a chapter that gives a very simple vision exercise that readers can do at home at no cost whatsoever that is absolutely profound. And it requires a string and a few beads, which you can buy for next to nothing. If people do this experience, their vision will improve. Their depth perception will improve. Their attention span and comprehension and reading will improve. If you do it, even for a week, you will probably notice that your eyesight for reading will improve. So this is a no-cost, very simple procedure. And I suggest that people do this in for just 1 minute at a time, a few times a day. So it doesn't even take any more time to do it. I try to share a lot of these awareness-expanding tools, which were the most important that I discovered in my life, in this book, so that they can be done for just 1 minute at a time. So again, it doesn't interfere with your life. You can do it anywhere you want, and the impact is profound.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. The book does have the exercises, which I'm like, I got to look at those again. And you're right about 40, because I felt like when I turned 40 a while back, my life was changing, and it was for the better. And people think aging, we have this perception, I think, of aging with our eyes, for example, our hearing, that we're deteriorating when I feel like we're just getting better.
The truth of the matter is, perhaps 40 is beginning of the saging process rather than the aging process.
Oh, I like that.
You're just becoming wise. There's wisdom that's coming because we've lived for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
And the other thing that I share with people is, if reading is difficult at 40, maybe it's a sign we're supposed to stop the reading and just start the direct experience with life. There's nothing richer to read than life, than our relationships, than different situations. And that's really what vision is about. Mm-hmm. It's not so much about reading books. It's about reading life and responding to life in an open, inquisitive manner, just as a child does it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely, it's amazing. Sometimes I'll have guests on and you get those aha moments, and I'm getting a lot of them tonight, which is good.
Well, that's good. We'll have to say something funny so we can go from aha to ha-ha.
I like it.
Yeah.
<That's> great.
Yeah, we don't want to get so serious, you know?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
These are things that are important to life and important to our growth, and they can also be fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, life is supposed to be fun. Even the serious stuff, I can find humor in anything. At least that's what I've been told. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true.
Yes, it is. What do you feel is the significance of the expression, "it caught my eye"? I like that saying, "it caught my eye."
Yeah, you know, we all have heard that expression many times.
Right.
But rarely do we ask the most important question. What is the it that caught our eye? Because if something catches our eye, it means that that something is looking for us. And what I share throughout the book is we're so focused on looking for what we want in life that we often miss what life is bringing to us because we need it at that particular instance. And because I've spent the last 45 years looking at light, looking at vision and consciousness, I've come to realize something. It is not the eye looking for the light. It is the light looking for the eye. And when those things catch our eye, it's because they're looking for us. Why are they looking for us? Because the intelligence of life is continually guiding every step we take so that we may fulfill our reason for being. When we first came on the air, you were describing the work that you do with people to help them heal. And I don't know anything about your work, but I imagine that when you're doing a client session, it's not so much that you're looking for things, it's that you're noticing what the intuitive hits are that you are receiving, that you share with your client, and they say, oh my God, how did you know that? And what I've come to realize is what we call intuition or instinct or a gut feeling or a psychic sensation or synchronicity or precognition. These are all different words to say the same thing, to express that we are aware of something that is not visible. Now, Jonathan Swift said real vision is the ability to see the invisible, to see what is yet not rendered into form. What we know from science, from religion, and from studies of consciousness is that light is the fundamental energy from where all of life emerges. That's why the renowned theoretical physicist David Bohm said, all matter is frozen light. Everything that we see is solid, that is solid, including all plants, all animals, everything solidified, including our physical bodies, are light that has been transmuted into matter. And what we know scientifically is light is continually imprinting and guiding the activity of every cell in our body. Every cell, not just the cells in our eyes, have the ability to detect and respond to light. And what they do with that information from light is they all synchronize their, orchestrate their internal function, and then synchronize themselves with Mother Nature so that the main purpose of light is to upgrade the software of our humanity so that we come into a congruent, coherent relationship with life. Other words for congruence and coherence is presence. Presence is what occurs when that which catches our eye and our eye come together into a state of oneness. And at that moment, we receive an insight, an inspiration that moves us in a direction so that we may fulfill our reason for being here. Whether your reason is to create apples because you're an apple tree, or whether your reason is that you're a human being that is writing a book, or a human being that is interviewing someone else, it doesn't make any difference. Each of us have a reason for being. If you are an intuitive healer, you didn't just discover that a year ago. You've known that your whole life. Your whole life you've had the ability to see. At least I have. You know, great athletes, sure, they might practice, but they're great athletes before they ever practice anything. It's part of their nature. It's what they're here to do. And what we're here to do is what our teachers used to describe when they used to say something like, Amy knows it by heart.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't mean that Amy memorized it. It means that Amy knew it in the core of her being, because that is who she is. And so when we follow the guidance of light, which is the guidance you follow every day with your clients and I follow in my life, mm-hmm. we are brought to precisely where we need to be, without any thought, without any work, without making anything happen.
Mm-hmm.
We're literally brought there free of charge. And what we uncover in the process is that we're not supposed to work at life. We're supposed to allow life to work itself through us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what I have shared in the book, not as a new idea,
mm-hmm.
but as a truth that is more potent than our ideas or our opinions. These are things that came to me over many years of having profound internal revelations that have only now begun to be affirmed by science. And so the idea was to integrate science, spirituality, and profound direct revelation into something that when you read it, some part of you says, oh yeah, I know that in my guts to be true. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I had to put this into words.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautifully integrated, too, with those three elements, science, spirituality, and life.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's, and I feel as we get older, as we hit 40 or even 35, 40, whatever, we just know life works out the way it's supposed to. And the worrying
yeah.
and the fretting and all that, and it just, it's going to work out the way it's going to work out. At least that's what I've come to discover, you know, in my life. It's quite comforting.
You're a wise woman. You're a wise woman, because most people spend their whole life looking but not seeing the reality of what you've just shared. And that's perhaps the most important experience of our life.
Mm-hmm. Just allowing. Because if you don't allow it,
yeah.
it's just not. It's the more you interfere with life, I've discovered, too, the more it messes things up more for the outcome, for your highest
well,
good.
You know, we have this idea that we're living life. We're not living life. We are life. Life is living itself through us and mm-hmm. through everything else that exists. And what we experience as thoughts and worries and all these things, they're occurring in everything that is alive. All animals, birds, fish, creatures of the land, all of them have consciousness. All of them feel. All of them experience their version of worry when they encounter something they've never encountered before. When a forest is on fire, I guarantee you the trees are screaming.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just silent as the fire is raging and taking their lives. So I think it's time to awaken to the fact that everything is an expression of godliness, an expression of the animating force of life. And what is moving the planets, the tides, the seasons, our heartbeat, our breathing, our blood pressure, and everything else, that is also animating our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Something is guiding the movement of everything, and the orbit of a planet around the sun is no different than each of our personal orbits, what we call our life's journey.
Mm-hmm.
The planets don't awaken in the morning and say, oh, I think I'll just take a slightly different journey today. No, they have their course, and yes. they remain on that course. Each of us has a course. We may not recognize it, but we do. And what I'm speaking about, even though it sounds philosophical and some people could say spiritual, mm-hmm. there's an absolute scientific basis for all this. Not flimsy science, real gold standard science that is pointing to everything I'm speaking about. As an example, my first book, Light Medicine of the Future, came out in January of 1991. At that time, I said the primary purpose of light was to cue all of the cells in the body so that the internal part of our body would come into a state of harmonious relationship or oneness with life. October 2nd of 2017, the Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine was awarded to three U.S. scientists because they discovered the molecular basis of how each of our cells is continually adjusting itself to light during the day and darkness at night. That's why our bodies know when to awaken, when to go to sleep, when to eat, when to use the bathroom, when to raise our blood pressure, when to lower our blood pressure, and so on. Every function of the body is light dependent. Every function. Mm-hmm. And all of our cells are continually being guided by that energy from the sun that we call light. And that energy from the sun that we call light and that we experience as brightness is no different than the spiritual light people speak of. You see, light cannot be seen. It is totally invisible. It has no attributes. So the light that the Bible describes as God, when they say God is light, and spiritual traditions say the light that the Bible describes as God and spiritual traditions equate with consciousness is the precise same light that the physicists say is the ground of reality, the energy from where all life emerges. So whether you're looking at light from a religious perspective, a spiritual perspective, or a scientific perspective, you come to the exact same place, because the Bible describes God as light, and it says that this God, this creative force, is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. If you look at the behavior of light, it behaves as if it's all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. So the light, whether we speak of spiritual light, light of consciousness, or light of the sun, we're speaking about the same light, the same underlying energy from which everything emerges.
Wow. Wow. Like I said, a lot of aha moments today.
Yeah.
How have humans hindered this inherited navigational system?
Well, you have to realize something. We have a major organ or gland inside the head. It's called the pineal. You've heard it spoken of as the third eye. Mm-hmm. The pineal was historically called the third eye, the sphincter of thought, the seat of the soul. The pineal is the body's primary light sensor. It essentially takes the information about light that enters the eyes, and then it transmits that information, that knowing, with every cell in the body at the same period of time. And it does that to tell every cell what it needs to do in order to synchronize itself with light. Now, the pineal not only receives information about light, but about the Earth's electromagnetic field. In other words, it's a part of our being that has something to do with that internal GPS or guidance. In many creatures that live in the wild, that depend on light to tell them when to reproduce and when to give birth, if you look at their brains, for many of them, the pineal occupies 50% of their brain. Human beings, the pineal is the size of a pea.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny.
Yep.
More importantly, in most human beings, except human beings that are living in the jungles of Africa, most of us, our pineals are calcified. And when it's calcified, our ability to navigate ourselves through life is hindered dramatically. Why am I sharing that? Because the whole purpose of light is to guide our journey. Give you an example. I live in Maui, Hawaii. Every year, tens of thousands of whales make a journey, a 10,000-mile journey from Alaska to Maui to give birth and then to go back. Interestingly enough, regardless of weather conditions, currents, or anything else, these whales make this journey in straight lines, rarely, rarely, any more than 1 degree difference from year to year. They're primarily guided by light and the Earth's electromagnetic field. We are designed the same way. But we live indoors most of the time. We've been led to believe that the light of day is dangerous, that we should wear sunglasses everywhere we go, that we should continually use sunscreens all of the time. That light is cueing every cell about time of day, time of night, what we need to do, what our body has to do. So when we're out of sync with Mother Nature, living what we call a normal life, which in most cases is totally unnatural, we are creating a huge amount of stress, a huge amount of dis-ease, and chronic illness. And so we get off track because we've been conditioned to live life according to our ideas rather than using life signals to awaken in the morning, to go to sleep at night. You know, every time you put on your cell phone at 10 o'clock at night, it puts out artificial light. And the light that it puts out is very rich in the blue end of the spectrum, which is what the sun puts out during the day. So you look at your cell phone at 10 at night, and it basically sends a signal through your eyes to the pineal and every other part of your body that it's time to wake up. So now you're trying to fall asleep, but you can't fall asleep because you've been playing on your cell phone, your tablet, or your computer. Each time that you put in this light that is different than daylight or what occurs at night with starlight and the moon, you're putting in information into your body that gives it inaccurate signals. And since every function of the body is light dependent, your body starts going haywire. It doesn't know exactly what to do. So until we begin living naturally, until we begin getting our minimum daily requirement of sunlight, I would say 25 to 30 minutes, and you don't have to just get out and burn yourself. Mm-hmm. Stand outside between 10 in the morning and 2 or 3 in the afternoon. For a minute, let large sections of your body receive the sunlight if possible, because it has such a profound impact on you. Every day, increase the time by a minute. In 25 or 30 days, you'll have huge amounts of vitamin D being synthesized in your body. Why is that important? Because every disease of civilization, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, macular degeneration, Alzheimer's, all of these are related to vitamin D deficiency. What does that mean? It means you're suffering from malillumination, like malnutrition. You're not getting enough light. So getting outside in the sun is incredibly important. Another important piece is this. This is something I discovered more than 40 years ago. I have been using color therapeutically for more than 40 years. When I inquired with people 40-something years ago about the colors they liked and disliked, I noticed something very interesting. People like certain colors and dislike other colors. I wondered why that was. And when I looked deeper, I noticed that the colors they didn't like were the colors that triggered stress in their body, measurable stress. And I measured this with physiological monitors. As I researched this even further, I discovered that the colors that they didn't like that created stress in their life were energetically related to the unresolved issues in their life. The traumas that they had had that they weren't able to assimilate and really resolve within themselves, or the things that were passed down from generation to generation that they got in their DNA that caused them to have a reaction to something that they weren't even aware of. And when I began working with people and treating them with color, I realized that if I was able to allow them to spend time with the colors they felt uncomfortable with in a very gentle way and gradually increasing the amount of time with these colors, as in the same way as they spent a gradually more time outdoors with the sun. When they did that, profound things happened. First of all, they became desensitized from the triggers in their life, the emotional triggers that caused them to develop all kinds of stress and stress-related discomfort in their body. Once their receptivity to the different portions of the spectrum expanded, not only were they desensitized from these psycho-emotional triggers, but more light was getting into each of the chakras of the body. The reason the chakras have colors associated with them is because those colors literally energize those chakras. And so what I uncovered in my work is the colors that we're uncomfortable with, if we look into someone's physical case history, you find out that the chakras where those colors are needed end up remaining in the dark and they start developing problems in that part of their body. So I developed different ways of working with color. In the book, I give a simple visualization that people can use to experience exactly what I'm talking about. And then for those who are interested in doing this further, I've actually developed a little kit, something called the SRS3, which means Spectral Receptivity System 3. And this little kit is something that has 13 pairs of glasses that I've designed that include all the spectral colors and combinations. And it provides a person not only a background on color therapy used on the body and through the eyes, but it provides a 28-day protocol where people can gradually increase their receptivity to all the colors of the spectrum and experience many of the changes that I just described, except they can do this at home. And they can do this with very minimal amount of time invested. I'm talking about a couple minutes at the very most, because real change doesn't happen because we do something over and over again. Change is a function of awareness. It's a function of having a revelation, an epiphany, an aha moment. And so the purpose of this work is to create more of these aha moments where the awareness becomes curative, and over time, our life is profoundly altered.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Wow. You speak about breathing in the book. What is the connection between our breath and our ability to see and be?
You know, this motion that we associate with breathing, where it looks like our chest is expanding and contracting. If you really tune in to this rhythm in the body, you notice that initially you'll notice just the chest, but then you'll notice that your abdominal area is expanding and contracting. And then you'll notice that it's not just happening in the front of your chest and in your belly. It's happening in on your back as well. Your whole torso, you know, the whole torso is expanding and contracting. You tune in deeper. And if you're laying on the ground, for instance, you notice that every time you breathe, your whole body raises up off the floor and then lowers. If you really tune in to what we call breathing, you realize that you're not breathing at all. That life is actually entraining your body with a rhythm of expansion and contraction. In other words, we are continually being breathed by life. Now, that's pretty fascinating. But if you look around, you realize that that same thing is happening with every creature on the earth, with every tree, with every stone, with everything. The earth itself is measurably expanding and contracting continually. So is the solar system, the planets, and the entire universe. In other words, what we're feeling or experience in our body as the respiratory cycle is actually a frequency of wellness. It's the heartbeat of the universe entrained into all living things. What's important about that is that I discovered more than 40 years ago that when we begin thinking the thing that we're all addicted to doing, which I primarily call worrying, when we do that, we inadvertently hold our breath. Mm-hmm. When we work at anything, we hold our breath. And when we hold our breath, we stop our life. And so what does breathing have to do with seeing and being? When you're trying to see, you can't see. When you're trying to remember something, it never gets further than the tip of your tongue. When you're trying to make a home run, you usually strike out. Why? Our body, this solar system, and the entire universe, along with all living things inhabiting the earth, are all designed to function without any effort. We're not designed to do. That's why we're called human beings rather than human doings. This is why my dear friend Ram Dass, more than 30 years ago, wrote the book Be Here Now, not Do Here Now. And so when we begin to uncover some of these very, very fundamental truths about life, you begin to realize that most of the things that we think and we believe are actually not truth. And to really get free, we need to uncover truth, the truth that is beyond opinion, the truth that Jesus said would set us free. And that's what happens when that truth is uncovered. Something is set free.
Yes, very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yes. That's really, you know, the main message of this book. is to share a new truth with people that is not just a new idea, but these are fundamental truths about the workings of life. And when we recognize them as a fact, not as an idea, everything can start opening, not only our vision, but everything else as well. So it's really important that we're just reminded of what's natural inside of us rather than what's normal, because what's normal is making us sick.
Yes, I agree. Totally.
Yeah.
Especially with the technology being addicted on social media.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You know, they talk about weapons of mass destruction. I call it weapons of mass distraction. You know, and what I think is going on, aside from the environmental changes created by global warming, what's happening with technology, we really are suffering from a global warning. We need to gain warning about what's happening, because you can't go into a restaurant and have a conversation with someone without them continually checking their emails or their text messages or anything else. And, you know, we have a large field of vision so that we can experience life as a whole. Most of the culture is spending their life looking at something the size of a cell phone. So rather than experiencing life as a whole, we're experiencing life through a hole, through a tiny little part of our field of vision. And that not only causes nearsightedness, and that's why we have such a huge epidemic of vision deterioration, but basically we train ourselves to see less, to feel less, to experience less, and to just be less efficient. And that's what's happening throughout the world. And we're losing the ability to just connect with each other. Most people are meeting through dating services rather than looking into each other's eyes. Most people are texting rather than sitting across from each other and having a profound moment of connection. There's nothing more important than human contact. It's where we experience unconditional acceptance. It's where we experience the love of each other. And love is so powerful. I always say love is the answer regardless the question. A small amount of love is like an incredibly potent remedy. You can't get that, you know, on Skype or via email or text. That's something that you can't describe, because it's an animating piece of our humanity. That's who we are, and that's what we must share with each other. So I'm hoping that we've been able to share that with your listeners today, and that people will just consider something different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Leave your cell phone off for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Take a couple hours off without it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel everything that you go through in the process, so you know how extreme that addiction is. Because until we uncover it, we can't uncover what we need to do to get free of it.
Correct. Very true. Very true. Yes, sometimes I like to just leave the laptop off, the cell phone off. People are like, I'm trying to get a hold of you. Sometimes I just
Yeah.
take a break. Mm-hmm.
Hug a tree. It's much better.
Especially down where I live in Florida. A lot of palm trees.
Yeah. Where do you live in Florida?
I'm near Tampa.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. I will be in Miami soon. That's why I thought I would mention it.
Okay. Not too far. In fact, I want to get out of the keys and get lost for a week without technology.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to do.
It is. It's a great thing to do. Well, we are running out of time. This was a very fascinating conversation, Jacob. This was awesome. I can't tell you appreciative of your knowledge and your wisdom you shared with our listeners tonight.
You know, if they want information about that, they can visit my website, which is jacoblieberman.org. That's O-R-G. Lieberman is spelled L-I-B-E-R-M-A-N. And the whole website is dedicated to sharing valuable insights. This is not a marketing site. We don't need you to buy anything. It's just a beautiful site to visit. That's really our purpose. We just want to see if we can plant seeds of goodness in the world. If people want to know what I'm up to, I'll be leaving on a book tour very shortly, and they can check the events page in terms of where I will be speaking. Most of these events are free of charge. Come enjoy if you're in the area. If people want to sign up for our newsletter, again, these are not marketing newsletters. We only send them out quarterly, and it's just to share good things. So if that interests your readers, they know how to reach me. And most of all, I've just really enjoyed this conversation we've had, and so grateful that you invited me and shared me with your listeners.
Well, thank you for coming on, Dr. Lieberman. Jacob Israel Lieberman's book is Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living. Thank you very much, Dr. Lieberman. And I'm Amy Toy for Angel Angels with Amy Toy. And then join us next week for another enlightening conversation.